everybody. I'm Matt Keen. I'm back from the desert. I survived those incredible temperatures. Anyway, sit right there. We're gonna talk about Punisher, X-Force, Thor. So much Marvel to catch up on, and we'll be right back. So hang out.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel movie.
Right there.
Just, yeah, that was great.
I like the number of times you tried to say Marvel, but you realized you had more to say before Marvel. Yeah. So it's like, my girl. Desert heat.
Hey, I'm back.
Hey,
you're back too.
Back in the chairs.
Back in the chairs.
We learned English in the plant.
Yeah, we learned how to speak better on desert heat.
Here we is.
This excellent. Year, I know everyone's wondering how Burning Man was. Burning Man is always great.
Always great.
It's always great. This is your first year. I barely saw you. It was fantastic.
We were very close, but very far.
Yeah, we were just
hundreds of feet away, but miles.
No, we were like 20 feet away from each other's tent, and then like, hey, Koi, how's it going? Bye. I was like, oh, gee.
There's a monkey in the desert. I have to find it. It's very important. Gets on
the monkey that looked like a gummy bear.
Dude, that guy was awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway,
everyone should go.
Everyone should go to Burning Man at least once. It may not be for you, but. At least then you'll know it's not for you. All right. We are the Marvel Movie News, not Burning Man News. This is episode 147. It's 147, right? Right? I think it was 147. Yeah, I forgot to change that. Thank you, Associate Producer Ollie. Episode 147 coming to you live from the ruins of Asgard. We'll get to that.
Oh, okay.
We'll get to that.
Oh, yes.
But that's pretty good. We tell you all the news from all the studios and why you should be as excited as we are. That's what our show does. Subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News or find us at youtube.com/Popcorn Talk Network. Also on their website, popcorntalknetwork.com, or on Twitter at Marvel News PTN or at the Popcorn Talk. Also on facebook.com/Marvel News Show. And guys, if you'll tweet a link to our show on your Twitter with a message telling people that there's a live chat that they can come participate in right now, Aunt Manthony from the booth will retweet you.
Ciao, how's it going, everybody? Welcome to the show. It's going to be a great one.
Beep, boop, 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 boop. My name is Matt Key at The Matt Key. We're joined, as always, by Markeia McCarty at MarkeiaMcCarty.
Yeah. You made it into a question.
Why? Because she loves you.
Yeah.
Aww.
Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, exactly. We also have Koi Jandro over there at CoyJandreau.
You. And our internet sounds, so I'm using my phone. I'm not being rude. I just want to communicate.
And it's your birthday this week.
It is. On
Happy
Friday.
Birthday.
It's my birthday show. Very excited.
Happy birthday.
My last year of my 20s.
You're going to be 25, right?
25 years young. Born in 1988 or 29. It's scary.
Oh, I hate you so much.
So spry, achy.
I'm doing so good in my life. I'm all my family, man.
Who am I?
We've got Aunt Anthony in the booth. Hi, Aunt Anthony. We've got Colt Badeau tweeting from the Starjammer, and we have associate producer Ollie.
Hi
over
guys,
here.
I'm so happy. It's so cool to see this little reunion going on.
So nice, isn't it?
It's beautiful.
It's been a while.
Markeia did awesome, by the way.
Oh yeah,
she's awesome.
Oh, of course she did.
Don't think I didn't investigate thoroughly and watch and make sure she agreed.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
And now I want to remind everyone that we are doing our best to keep to a format of only an hour, and we are 3 minutes into that, so we may have to cut some stories. We saw all the stories, we just may not have time to talk about all of them, so please forgive us. But first up is Punisher. We have so many new pictures of Punisher to go through. First of all, we have some weird security footage. I don't know what that's all about, and it looks like this is taken, apparently, when Punisher still had his family. So what's going on there?
And it looks like he's got the manscaped beard that
coiffed her suit.
Apparently
persona?
With the death of one's family, you just get rid of all.
Yeah,
of them.
Yes, get rid of all.
You gotta make sure.
Yeah, and then she and it seems like his wife knows something is going on. She's like, oh, there's a camera. That's my impression of Frank Castle's wife. Oh, there's a camera.
Maybe it's a body cam.
Oh, maybe. Ooh. I have a theory as to what's going on there, but let's get through these pictures. Also, then Empire released these images. We've got a behind-the-scenes shot of Frank's castle, played by John Bernthal, setting up a sniper, military's favorite gun, sniper.
Yeah, it's a new gun. Everybody knows about it.
And then we've got our first look at Ebon Moss Backrock, I believe is his name, the actor playing Micro, a.k.a. David Lieberman, the only thing that Frank Castle has that comes close to a best friend, more of a I trust you and you trust me because if we don't trust each other, we both die sort of situation. Mm-hmm. And then we've got this really cool image that I think this was just released today This is what I want to start getting into. I think that the spy camera stuff is being set up by the U.S. government because mm-hmm. Frank Castle was a whistleblower. And, like, all the stuff that happened in Daredevil Season 2 with, like, the mob killing his family and all that stuff, I think, like, that was wholly separate from whatever else was already going on in Frank Castle's life. Like, he's just that wound up in the affairs of...
Well, and that also gives us an interesting anti-hero angle, because it'll give us, like, where some governments will be after him, some bad guys will be after him. Like, it gives him that, like, man on an island feel. Yeah. Like, there's no one that isn't after Frank Castle. Because if he's a whistleblower, there are governments that don't want us to know what he knows. And then he's also, like, after crime syndicates. So I love that idea, because it puts us, every man against Castle.
Yeah.
Yeah, no one is his real friend.
Which is how the comics are, which is how it should be. Like, like when he teams up with Spider-Man, it's not on purpose. Like, it's very begrudgingly, and stuff happens.
Yeah, so, exactly.
And I think the have you seen the ads with the all the blacked out?
Yeah, I think we have that video to show.
Excellent. So that leads credence to that. And it also, like, it has micro-mention and everything else. I'm excited.
Yeah. Can we go ahead and watch that real quick, Anthony? Just real fast. Real fast. I know you're pulling it up. There we go.
There it is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Operation Cerberus.
Yep.
Whistleblower identified as Frey. Micro. Operation Kandahar. I mean, there's not a lot.
Confidential.
But it gives that tell from it.
But yeah, so I think. And you know how Netflix always divides their season up between, like, here's a bad guy for the first six episodes, mm-hmm. here's a bad guy for the last six mm-hmm. or seven, whatever. I think that's probably what's going to happen here, where it starts off with he's hunting down criminals. In New York, Hell's Kitchen area, Operation Kandahar, all that stuff with Micro, like Operation Cerberus, whatever, bears down on him, and he has to handle, like, running from the government. And I think while he's running from the government, those are the bad guys for the first six, doing their best to do a cover up. Billy Russo, aka
Jigsaw,
is in the background, and I think maybe he's part of Kandahar. Like, maybe they use criminals in some capacity, so he's hunting him down. He's part of it. Then the back half of the season is Jigsaw, Billy Russo, mm-hmm. stuff like that.
I'd love a slow burn of Jigsaw.
Me too.
Him to be part of his past and present. Like, I'd like that character to be, like, well entranced into his life.
Like, in the background until he's no longer in the background.
Because the worst thing Luke Cage did was get rid of Cottonmouth, because we'd lost the momentum. If they keep him for
and
momentum.
The thing of it is that they focused on a wrong second bad guy. They needed to focus on Mariah as being, like, a Kingpin-like character and have her in Shades and do that. And then they waited until too late in the season to kind of bring that back.
Kind of bring that back, yeah. Diamondback was just
cartoony.
But with this, you can learn from that like, you know, quote unquote mistake and keep a villain throughout and make it like, his Purple Man was incredible because you felt how important that character was to our lead.
Yeah, and you felt his presence the entire show, even when he was barely there.
He was part of her past and her present, which is what made him so scary. So hopefully,
Well, and that's the thing that Diamondback should have been in Luke Cage. He was never a part of his past until all of a sudden he was a part of his.
Your brother who just manifested.
Yeah, your adopted brother whom you've never mentioned before. What is going on?
This episode of the soap opera is really weird.
Yeah.
He's back from the dead in the hospital? Yeah. He's a doctor?
I have a brother?
What?
Yeah. We've got those new pictures. And I've just stated my theory. Now we've got some pictures that were just released this morning from Netflix. We've got a picture of Frank Castle in Operation, like, presumably Kandahar, for whatever Operation Cerberus was. Like, at least, that's what I'm saying. I'm declaring, like, this is something called Operation Cerberus. It's a three-headed dog, whatever. He's a part of it in Kandahar. And that's his, like, origin story instead of Vietnam, which makes total sense. Here we've got Micro, David Linus Lieberman, played by Eben Moss Backrack. We've got a second picture here. This is I love this picture because you can see him a little bit better. Though the other picture is pretty cool too. This is Ben Barnes playing Billy Russo, and he is he's got Curtis Hoyle there, played by Jason Moore. Curtis Hoyle, if I remember correctly, was part of Frank Castle's regiment. I think
he's looking very nifty there.
Yeah. This is Micro's wife. Micro also has two children. I think we can probably expect to see them come under threat.
Most likely.
And maybe probably murdered.
I mean,
in a terrible, terrible, awful thing. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So I don't see good things for her future in the show. Here we see Agent Dinah Madini, And I think this is Sicario. I had to do a little sleuthing, but I think this is Sicario, played by Amber Rose Riva and Raul Torres. And they are, if I remember correctly, they're FBI agents who are on the hunt for Castle.
Not Homeland Security?
Maybe are they Homeland Security? Maybe they're Homeland Security. I feel like they're more federal than local.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh yeah, that's
so, I mean, look at the look of them. They're federal.
Yeah, so they've got police vests on there, but I think they're on a sting with the police. I don't think they're actual cops. Like, I don't think cops are chasing him down.
Yeah, I know. Cops agreed. Tend to be, I don't know, a little grittier. when they're played in television.
Yeah, so. Agreed. And here we have a couple pictures of Karen Page, played by Deborah Ann Woll. She apparently plays a relatively large part in the series, and here she's meeting with Castle covertly.
I love their relationship.
And then behind both of them, Mystique.
Of course.
Of course. Uh-huh. And then at the bridge. So, cool picture.
Everyone must shoot at this bridge.
Everyone has to shoot at this bridge.
Go to this spot.
Go to the spot. We don't have any actual news. And in fact, what's very odd about all of this is that the poster that they released, the covert ops blackout tape, whatever, it says a date at the bottom, 2017, but the date is scratched out and it just says 2017. So it's like, well, October, November, it's that, like, there's 3 months left. What are you doing?
I'm guessing because we need to have something to binge.
Yeah.
So. How cool would it be to just like turn turkey. On Netflix and have Punisher on it? Like, I hope we never know. I hope we just find out by being like, Punisher's here.
I think there's something to that.
That'd be so cool.
Because I know, like, New York Comic Con is in a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they are, let's see, I've got it here. Marvel and New York Comic Con plans to show Runaways, Punisher, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff.
They're just like, here's episode one. Also, turn on your TVs. There's the risk.
That's what I'm wondering if they're going to do.
But they do
like
all of that in Morse code.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Everything
amazing.
You have to solve. Yeah. Go through the like paperwork and puzzle it.
Every single episode, you have to figure out how to do a digital download.
Earn it.
Oh, you got to earn. You got to earn your Punisher.
It'd be pretty cool if they use it as like a gimmick, as he's like a whistleblower and he does a little video of like, guys, I have the release date for my show, and he like kind of gives it out to the public in that kind of manner.
Yeah,
they have a Snowden hack at New York Comic Con.
Edward Snowden's the only one who can figure out when.
The only one that can get us Punisher on Netflix.
Snowden, we're watching you. We're looking to you.
You're our only
hope. Be a hero. I really think that they're going to make a lot of announcements for Punisher there, but I kind of hope they don't give us a release date.
I'd love if it just was on Netflix.
I think that there's like something to like creating a fervor for like, you want the release date? You can't have it.
I also wouldn't release it early November because Stranger Things is the last week of October. Stranger Things is October 28th, which is very important to me.
Good call.
So they shouldn't do it within those next 2-3 weeks because that would be, your own audience. So
Either just happens. Either later, like second or third week of November or like early October is my guess.
Jack in the chat brought up a
point. Jack in the chat.
Jack in the chat. Just Jack.
Jack in the chat.
It's a Friday and I believe it's Veterans Day or the day before. So that's a prediction from him. So what do you guys think about Veterans Day? November 11th is Veterans Day.
That'd be amazing. That's give people 2 weeks to watch Stranger Things.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a solid choice.
I like that a lot.
I like that choice. Good work, Jack in the chat. Jack in the chat. All right, let's move on to X-Force, who has hired Drew Goddard as a writer and director.
I love Drew Goddard so much.
Tell us why.
Drew Goddard has been an important factor of Daredevil being as good as it was. Cabin in the Woods is incredible. He knows his comics. He wrote a Sinister Six script that's apparently amazing. The guy loves comics, knows comics, is a great writer. I haven't seen a lot of his directing, but he's done episodes of, like, House of Cards. He helped create House of Cards. The guy is brilliant, and he loves the medium, and that's really going to shape why X-Force is going to be different, because this is a show that could be a movie that could be awful. Like, X-Force is the 90s dist. We need someone
that
cares.
It has the possibility of being a huge flaming train wreck.
It really does. It's a team up of R-rated characters, and we saw what happened with a director that didn't love the source material. So I really want to see a director that loves it make this work. And we've got Brolin as Cable. We've got Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool. There's a built-in audience, so I think they'll have more room to play with it. I think Drew Goddard can do a lot because people are already going to see this movie if it's right. So I hope they lean into the pouches and make it awesome.
Lean into the pouches. According to the reports, X-Force is expected to revolve heavily around Deadpool and Cable, and they will lead a team of black ops that are filled with down-and-dirty mutant warriors. who are way more brutal than their X-Men counterparts. And that's essentially like, hey, we're just going to describe the plot of the X-Force comics to you.
Right.
Yeah. Now it's in a movie.
Like, yeah, so. On screen. And like most of what this guy's done has been really, really good and really geeky. So yeah. I think it's the perfect hand.
Well, I mean, he was a big, you know, architect for Daredevil and the Defenders and the whole like Netflix sort of
and a little
cinematic
movie Cloverfield
universe,
that did okay.
Did all right.
You know, it's fine.
Yeah, right.
Kevin Woods, whatever.
Just change sci-fi.
Yeah. So I saw that news. Like, that was one of the first things I saw when we got back from the desert. I was like, oh, yes.
Well,
these are good signs.
Giant Spider-Man fan. He, Sinister Six, and I was like, Sinister Six. And then I read his name and I was like, Sinister Six.
Sinister Six.
So that's a lot of faith.
All right. Skibbity bop bop ba da bow. Jessica Chastain has revealed she isn't playing Lalandra, and nerds all over the world side. And frustration because she would be great as a Lalandra.
So good.
And hopefully we still get Lalandra. Like, please do not take the cosmic element away from the Phoenix Fox. Like, please, like, you're doing.
Grounded
you got Drew,
and
you
real
got Drew Goddard on X-Force.
Okay.
You got Ryan, like,
I hate those words.
Like,
I hate those words so much.
I hate those words so
grounded
much.
Grounded and real are this decade's gritty reboot.
Oh,
I
wow.
feel like those two words are,
wow.
are Batman yeah. Begins and Dark Knight gave us gritty reboot, and for some reason now we're grounded and real, and I'm exhausted.
Stop it.
Just stop
it.
Go
don't
play
want.
In the
just
sandbox.
Get
go
rid
play.
Of those.
Yeah. Like, they're still following the examples of, like, Frank Miller's Batman and Alan Moore's Watchmen, where it's like, ooh, dark and gritty and
it's like that works for some things, like the Punisher.
It's like, yeah, but it's like, but we also have the Avengers, and there's a dude in a suit of armor that could never exist flying around with a god of thunder from another realm. Like, come
yeah.
on, guys.
Yo, we
like,
got this space bird. How do we make that work for $12?
Yeah.
Gritty and real.
Gritty and real.
Like, I hope that doesn't play.
But she said on Instagram, I believe, hey, folks, want a scoop? I'm not playing Lalandra, .. I have a theory, Valerie Cooper. Government agent Valerie Cooper trying to bring the X-Men into the fold to create X-Factor.
Oh, okay.
All right, I'm into it. That works. Yeah, that plays.
Right, cool. Let's move on because we only have an hour.
Casual acceptance. Like,
if she can't be Lalandra, I'll take.
Unless she's going to be like, I'm not playing Lalandra. I am Lalandra.
Yeah, I am Lalandra from the Shi'ar Empire.
Phoenix. Jessica Chastain.
Like, is actually like a cosmic
it's
force.
Another there soft reboot, and we get a Jean Grey that's actually the right age to play such a nuanced character and an actress that can handle it.
Wow.
It's never going to happen. Could you imagine if she
just
actually
could
like
that? That could happen.
I would be okay with that.
They just plant, like, what's her name from Game of Thrones on set to, like, wander around in front of paparazzi. Meanwhile,
yeah.
Jessica Chastain.
Sophie Turner,
and
yeah.
an entire new team is, like, the X-Men.
That's awesome. I'm on board.
I can dream.
Venom production has been delayed to the fall, according to Omega Underground. It was going to begin production September 1st, but a lack of available crew pushed the date back to October 23rd. So
how does that happen?
I don't know.
How do you show up on set and go, we're missing a grip, a gaffer, a sound guy. Maybe we should wait.
We can't really talk about it long because we have to keep moving, but,
it's a first. I don't think I've ever heard
Venom. I don't know, man. Venom's the one. That's the one that's making me nervous. That and Silver and Black. I'm just like, I want to see these movies, but what are you doing,
what are
Sony?
They gonna do?
As long as Tom Hardy keeps posing with fans with a Venom helmet, I'll stay excited.
Right. Black Panther, Eric Killmonger.
And everyone note that Black Panther was not first.
No.
He got back from the desert, and Black Panther was not first.
No, because here's why. Because I don't like this story because that suit doesn't look like what I saw in the trailer.
Oh. Well, it's a toy.
Well, it can be a toy all at once, but toys can be pretty, like, Iron Man looks like Iron Man, and Magneto looks like Magneto, and Juggernaut doesn't have his helmet on, but, like...
He doesn't look like Eric Killmonger in the movie for you?
No, the suit doesn't.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Like, it's like, ooh, here's a look at his suit. No, it's not. That's not
a suit. A variant cover.
It can be a variant cover. I just don't feel like this is... I want to talk about it, but, like, there's a part of me that's like... I don't feel like that's the suit that I saw. That doesn't represent the suit that I saw. Like, the suit that I saw was shimmering
really
and golden.
Cool.
Yeah. Like,
that's supposed to be the suit?
That's
the toy suit. That's,
okay.
That's
it's weird to adapt it
just,
a skew.
I'm just
prototype.
Saying.
Maybe they ran out of gold, so.
You know those toy companies using real gold.
It's a problem. We don't have a crew for Venom. We don't have any gold paint for Black Panther. What do we
yeah.
do?
Just
what
start,
do
we do? Just paint over the black. Silver things.
Yeah.
Marvel really running out of money, you guys.
Oh, gee. Yeah. They don't have the economy of, like, the sixth largest nation in the world.
When
yeah.
I think of Marvel, I think of pinching pennies running out of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's going on.
Yep.
God, I really hope that they release a trailer soon. I want you to see it so bad. It's so amazing.
From my head to, like, explode.
It'll be on Thor.
Well, it has to be, right?
It has to be with Thor because,
I mean,
like, it comes
out
in February.
Right.
Like,
I mean, everybody's all, you know, Avengers 4, and it's like, it's great, cool, I'm all about Avengers 4, but Black Panther
is in February. Months after November, that's a wait for
No, like, my guess is that we'll see a trailer in the next 6 weeks.
It's September now.
No, I know.
Okay, so you think late October. Maybe attached to Punisher now, they wouldn't do that.
No.
Weird. I
think it has to be attached to Thor. I mean, it has to be. It's November.
7 weeks out.
Yeah, my like guess is that it comes out like the third week of October.
Okay.
That's my guess, which is about 6 weeks from now. So.
Okay. And then
no later than Thor.
No, it can't come out after Thor, but it has to, like, typically the pattern is it'll come out 6 months before release. Mm. But they also want to time it with the release of Thor so that they can put it in front of the trailers, but they don't want it to be out too soon in front of Thor so that people have kind of already lost the luster for it.
Yeah.
So they want it to be about 2 weeks before the release. That is about 5 months before the film hits theaters. So that's my guess. Second or third week of October is my guess for a first full trailer for Black Panther. Then Christmas time we'll see a holy balls, this is the best trailer ever.
Yeah. This is just everything Black Panther.
Get ready for those reaction videos, Markia.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to keep my phone with me at all times.
Do you guys want to talk about Hawkeye being Ronin in Avengers 4, maybe?
What? I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, that's a thing.
And well, news to me. I missed that page somehow. I'd like to talk about it. I love Ronin.
All right.
MCU Exchange doesn't give a full spoiler for its source provided, but they believe, they have heard that Hawkeye will be taking on the identity of Ronin.
So we know he's not a Skrull.
He's not a Skrull.
He's not.
Most likely.
Don't kill his family. That means they have to kill his family because he's a Ronin.
My guess is that his family dies.
That it sounds like it.
In Infinity War.
And then he has to...
Think about it. We always said Hawkeye would survive. We did say his family.
That's true. Oh, that's so dark. I love Hawkeye's family. That's like my favorite scene in Avengers too.
I actually thought that the family was going to die in Age of Ultron.
Well, because Joss Whedon directed it, so I was like, there they go.
Yeah, there they go. Like, Joss Whedon is not afraid of killing people.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, I love Ronan. I love the character. And it's also, like, a character I never thought I'd see on screen, so that'd be cool because he kind of, like, becomes, like, Ronan is a mantle adopted by multiple heroes, so it'd be cool going forward to see Ronan pop back up as different people and be like, ooh.
Yeah, and he did adopt the mantle of Ronan post House of M, like 2006, 2007. He was that for a year, and no one knew it was Clint Barton.
Which is cool,
yeah. They were like, wait, you're back from the dead? He's like, yeah, I'm back from the dead, and I'm a ninja. Deal with it.
I just had to be a ninja now, and I got swords, you guys.
I got swords, not a bow and arrow. I can still use them.
For some reason, my long-range fighting skills also adapt to the short-range weapon. It's fine. It's fine.
Don't question it. Ignore it. Just deal with it. I'm amazing.
I'm a ninja now. It's okay. I got this.
But that also goes hand-in-hand with him having a mohawk in that one picture where he's kind of hinted at having a mohawk.
Mohawks are always cool. Mohawks always go mohawk.
Well, if you can pull a mohawk off. I could never pull a mohawk off.
I've had a mohawk.
You could probably pull a mohawk. You can pull a mohawk off.
I would totally do a mohawk. I've done faux
You
hawks.
Could totally yeah, do
I've
a mohawk.
I've done curly faux hawks
Have you,
before.
Yeah?
Purple curly
Storm.
Faux hawks.
Always could, halfway there, man.
Kinda.
You could pull off a mohawk. Yeah, you could pull off a mohawk, yeah.
Try
it. Yeah, you totally could.
Okay.
I cannot. I would look like I've got the widow's peak.
You've got straight hair, though. Your hair always looks so, like, even in the desert, magnificent. You have good, it's good.
Good hair. Thank you, I appreciate it.
Don't change.
I'm not planning to. New casting call, hints at Nick Fury's appearance in Avengers 4. This is by no means guaranteed, but there is in Atlanta, there was a casting call for body doubles for Avengers 4, and the casting call is for a man who looks African American, is in his 30s to 50s, is from 6'2 to 6'4, and has a chest size of 38 to 40. It's very specific call.
It gets more specific.
It gets even more specific. Yeah. The applicant will also need to be bald and must have a goatee or facial hair that you're willing to cut into a goatee to match the actor.
Casting call calls
Why
for Samuel
putting,
L. Jackson.
Because you're putting quotations on every word.
I just wanted to make sure that everyone knew that this was all in quotes.
It's that clapback on Twitter. It's like that, but in real life.
Yeah, this is all in quotes.
Instead of just at the beginning, then at the end.
No, people watching need to know that this is in...
Goatee or facial hair.
You guys are jerks. he's not in Infinity War, but he is in Avengers 4, but we also know that he's in Captain Marvel.
Skrull.
So maybe they're playing with that.
I think
in some way.
Maybe.
Or maybe he's like the Watcher on the Wall, like they did with the Infinity thing or the Original Sin, with the original Nick Fury, who'd been missing for 10 years or whatever. He's like, oh, I've been in space watching out for all of you. Like,
can we also know that, that's Samuel amazing. Jackson is so amazing that he's 68 and they're calling for a 30s to 50s.
30s to 50s. Yeah.
Like, they're like, we need someone 20 to 40 years younger
than this man. Yeah.
Whoa. Good
man.
For Sammy Jack.
Yeah.
Well, you saw him in Hitman's Bodyguard. Yeah, he was just rocking it.
I'm just very proud.
Is that a fun movie?
That's a super fun movie.
It's like, it's a buddy cop movie.
Buddy Con movie.
Super fun movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you said it almost like, Matt Key.
It's
yeah.
a super fun.
Down
I was questioning it more than I expected.
It's, I mean, think about it. You've got Nick Fury, Deadpool, and you've got Elektra in it.
Yeah, Elektra's the
Avengers. Well, Elodie Young is in it?
Yeah. He's in it.
Oh my god, that's awesome.
Deadpool and Elektra v. Samuel Jackson. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, there's a chase scene between a boat, a bunch of SUVs, and a motorcycle, and I was like, this is everything I needed.
Yeah.
Like, it just went full-bore 90s action movie.
I love it. All right. Let's get into our big stuff today. Thor Ragnarok set visit. A lot of other places got to go to the set and look at this stuff. So we're going to talk about
that
it.
Sass, Matt. A lot of other places.
We specialize in Marvel, we know, but, that's cool.
It's fine.
It's cool.
It's not their
it's
next
cool.
movie for us to have news about.
I know. Yeah, what whatever. Is this? Matt Key tears?
Aw, are they delicious? Do
they're
keep
delicious.
You
young? Your tears are delicious.
So let's start off. Taika Waititi says Thor can't come back from Thor Ragnarok. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Bold statement.
Bold statement.
Big moves.
Let's see. Taika Waititi and the set visit said, this is the direct quote from comicbook.com. We do a lot to this character in this film. You know, a lot of people have been wanting to see this idea of Ragnarok. A lot of people are excited by the idea of what Ragnarok means. To me, it means stripping down the establishment of what's already there and then building it up in a new way. It is almost like this cyclic idea of Ragnarok. Then he goes into so there's my own personal idea of Ragnarok, what we're doing to the character and to the franchise and to the story, but in a way where what comes out the other end is way more exciting and interesting in a way you can never go back from that. So there's also, by the way, I should mention possible spoilers. If you're like just hate spoilers more than anything in the world, there could be some in what we're all the stuff that we're talking about. So there's a lot to suggest that, Odin is out of the picture as of the very beginning of the film, i.e. Thor. So let me start here. Thor Ragnarok apparently starts with Thor and Muspelheim fighting Surtur. So like in the trailers where you see him all chained up and he still has his long hair and he's even in the narration, he's like...
The record scratch.
Yeah. And he's like, I suppose you're wondering how I got here. You know, like, yeah, we are all wondering that. Apparently, it starts in Muspelheim. Like, it starts with him fighting Surtur. Like,
no problem with that.
Yeah, the TV trailer that just came out where... Oh, man, I forgot to put that in there. TV trailer that came out last week where he's fighting a fire giant that either could be Surtur with the Twilight Sword or just a random fire giant. But he's, like, in Muspelheim... shielding himself from the flame and fighting.
You just got to say random fire giant about a movie that's coming out in February.
I know.
In November. That's real exciting.
Eat it, grounded and real.
Yeah! We got random fire giants. Yeah. Maybe Dark Sword.
I don't want to, like, compare Marvel to Fox and everything else and say Fox is doing it wrong, because they're not. Like, Fox
did
Deadpool,
Logan.
Like,
right.
They did it right. But, like, there's something about Marvel just embracing the nuttiness of their universe where it's like, Yeah, that's awesome.
That's weird. Hiring a director that loves comedy.
What a weird choice, too. Like, it's like they saw, like, the Ghostbusters reboot, and they're like, you know what? Chris Hemsworth's really funny. We should lean into that. Take away TV. You interested? Oh, yeah, I'm interested. I'll do it. Yeah. So
no rules? Okay.
Yeah, like, all right. Yeah, I love it. I'm excited for it. So it starts there, but then when Thor still has his long hair, we see him in New York. When Hela grabs Mjolnir and decimates it, Loki is also in that shot. Like, not in the shot of her blowing it up, but in the far-off shot where, like, she catches it. You can barely see him, but if you freeze it, you can see him there. Thor, Loki, in New York, most likely looking for Odin, who's not in the picture and never seen in any of the trailers. Maybe he dies in the first 5 minutes of the film, and now Thor's like, I've lost Odin and I've lost Mjolnir. I'm screwed. Like, and now I'm on a planet fighting Hulk with none of that? Oh, no. So that is kind of where, that's where my thinking is going, personally. What do you guys think about that?
I think there's a little bit of time with Doctor Strange hunting. I think there's going to be some time where they're looking for Odin. So I think maybe there's flashback continuity stuff where they, like, go back and forth to trying to find it. And, like, I think in the first act we'd lose Odin, but I don't think it's in the very, very beginning because that wouldn't allow for enough Doctor Strange.
It's fair.
Because we know he's involved in the, the hunt. So I'd say first act we lose Odin, which allows to play with time a little fun.
I bet we lose him 15 minutes in.
So we're splitting the difference between 5 and 30.
15, yeah. Because that'll be, like, the inciting incident where, like, where it's like, oh no, the main character's world has been turned upside down, but now he's got a decision to make. What's he going to do with the act break? Yeah.
That's, agreed. 15 minutes.
Odin is killed.
Yep.
At 15.
Sir Anthony's out.
Sorry,
Key confirms.
Matt Key confirms. I will stand by that. I'll actually put money on he dies somewhere around
we'll bring the 15 minute mark.
Yeah, we're watching. Somewhere between 12 and 15 minutes. That's my guess. Okay. So maybe I'm wrong. Whatever. There's no money involved.
Yeah, but I mean, but,
I'll put money at it. There's no money involved. Matt Key confirms doesn't understand gambling.
Get out. Get out. You can get out. Get it out. Marquia, what were you gonna say before Coy was rude?
No, I was just thinking because, like, with Taika saying, you know, Thor can't come back from it, I'm just thinking of what are all these huge forces that are going to have to happen that is going to ultimately change his character so much that the Thor that we know does not come back from it. Death of Odin, definitely.
Yeah, now there's no one in charge of Asgard. There's no king of Asgard. The Odin force is just like, what's up? I'm out here, and I'm just kind of floating around. No one has me. So I think the scene at the end of the trailers where Hela always goes, I'm the goddess of death. What were you the god of? And then he lands and he's got all the lightning crackling on him. He's the new Odin. He's got the Odin force at that point. That's my guess. Like, he's resisted being king the entire movie, but when Asgard is back against the wall and about to crumble, he's like, I got to do something.
And that gives
and
him
I'm
a
the
arc.
Only person who
I
can.
I like that.
Because the first movie gave him the humble, like, you need to be a man to be a god arc. The second movie happened.
The third movie,
this gives him an arc that actually gives him a place to grow as a character, which is what we've been missing. Like, Thor's a great character, but we haven't gotten to see that fully yet because the movies have had their flaws.
Yeah, totally agree.
I love that.
I like that.
Yeah, so I personally think that's what happens, and he has to go to Sakaar before he can really fully realize that. Now, the big question, though, is why is Hulk fighting Surtur if it starts at Muspelheim? And the only the answer is, to me, either they go back to Muspelheim or Surtur is released by Hela and is in Asgard, and they have to fight him there as well. Which is kind of what I was thinking the whole time anyway, because that's how Ragnarok actually ends with Surtur and Asgard with the Twilight Sword.
And I can't imagine that have Malekith. Two random... Like, I don't think that have multiple giants. I think it makes sense that Surtur is our guy.
Like, another giant.
Another fire giant.
Just in case you weren't already entertained, here's another one a little bigger.
And now here comes Jotunheim. Oh, no.
Here's some more.
It's Laffy. Oh, it's fire and ice. It's Game of Thrones.
And then John Cena.
John Cena.
Still waiting to find out.
I know.
He's definitely John Cena.
He has to be John Cena. Oh, he has to be.
He definitely enters the ring fighting in the Grandmaster's fight as John Cena.
I'm so excited.
Like, that's the only way
I want it to
go.
Be like he doesn't understand why he's there.
Yeah, like, how am I here? Like, I'm fighting
John
that.
Cena's
I can fight that. Yeah.
So good.
And I want there to be alien fans that are like...
Yes. Amazing. All right, so... let's see. Muspelheim, he's the king, whatever. Thor is going to meet his personal hero in Thor Ragnarok. This is another revelation from the set visits. Chris Hemsworth, talking to comicbook.com/film screen around a lot of those places, said of meeting Valkyrie, it's like Thor's meeting his hero. He's absolutely smitten by her because of her history being Valkyrie and all that. She's also this beautiful woman, so he's kind of caught off guard. She could have him if she wanted. I think he hasn't come up against that very often. Tessa Thompson, speaking about their relationship, says Valkyrie becomes sort of a part of his team. She's hanging out on another planet called Sakaar. She's sort of an expat. She is no longer with her tribe of Valkyrie anymore, and she meets Thor and Hulk, and they share a similar goal. They become friends and kind of teammates in a way. So,
well, I guess that's a way of saying she's no longer with her tribe of Valkyrie. Yeah. I guess that's a way to say it.
Yeah. I actually think it's cool that, like, they were, like, a tribe of warrior women, almost like Asgardian Amazons, like... I think that's rad.
That's cute.
And so
it's like, it was her choice to leave.
Yeah. Right? She's an expat.
Yeah.
Chased off by Hela, no doubt.
Yes.
Yeah. But I'm excited to see Thor, like, stumbling with himself, like, I don't know what to do with someone else who owns me. Like, I don't know what to do with this. Like, you own me. You're amazing.
I want him to, like, stumble into an awkward conversation where he just brings up his girlfriend for no reason.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of, we apparently find out why he and Natalie Portman are no longer together.
Oh, and it's not Jane Foster.
It's Natalie Portman. Yeah.
Much like John Cena, it's Natalie Portman. Yeah. Natalie Portman.
But Jane Foster's
dated John
still
Foster,
there.
That was okay. But Natalie Portman, yeah. Man, her performance in Black Swan really brought me back to earth.
Yes, thank you for correcting me, Jane Foster. You were just bored today.
Spend Boy. 1 week in the desert, come back with Sass.
Come back with Sass.
He's all woke like Jim Carrey, causing problems.
Oh, jeez. We've also got, so comicbook.com listed out a couple of details that they saw. One of the first details, the one that, like, caught me the most off guard is that Hela has her power set from the comics, but she's also mixed with Gore the God Butcher. Which I think is really cool. Like, so Gore the God Butcher was in the Jason Aaron run on Thor that started with, I believe, Marvel Now in 2014?
No,
I think it was 2012. Like, because Marvel Now was still before the Secret War.
Oh, yeah, and before All New, All Different.
Yeah. So I think it was around, like, 2011, 2012, maybe 2013, in that span of time. I'm old! But Gore the God Butcher hated every single god in the universe, which is why he was the God Butcher. He was like, you're all hypocrites. None of you actually do good for the people who worship you. I'm going to murder all of you just to prove that you're all worthless. And I'm not a god. I don't want to be a god. I don't want people to worship me. I just want to rid the universe of this pestilence of gods. So that's what he starts doing. Thor is able to defeat him, but one of the cool things that he has is he has access to every weapon ever. So he's like, I have infinite knives. And that's what we see in the trailers is her ability to do that. So, but I think that's really, really cool. And I really kind of hope that she has a similar motivation of gods are dumb. Like, I want to get rid of all gods.
It's like, except me, I'm cool.
Except me, I'm cool. But like, all you gods have got to go. Mm-hmm. And that would explain getting rid of Odin. That would explain going to Asgard to just decimate it. As she does. I really think Asgard doesn't make it out. I think Asgard...
I'd be surprised if it does.
Yeah, like, I think Asgard gets destroyed in a major way. Like, it's, like, maybe not 100% decimation, but I think it's, like, 15% of it is left.
Like Superman?
Yeah.
Decimated, yeah. Like Superman.
Exactly like
so
Superman.
Many people died.
So many people. I just love that. Okay. So many people died.
So many people.
We also have Grandmaster as a brutal dictator, similar to the Red King and Planet Hulk. I don't think any of us are surprised by that. But this is kind of big. Thor Ragnarok is the cosmic universe equivalent to Winter Soldier. Where,
okay.
So where Winter Soldier was like, peace out, S.H.I.E.L.D. Mm-hmm. Apparently, kind of what's going on right now. Actually, I've got a quote here from producer Brad Winderbaum saying, it's much like how Winter Soldier kind of took a lot of ideas off the playing field to make it harder for the Avengers in Age of Ultron. Similar thing to that. This whole cosmic world of the MCU was like, okay, you had Thanos and you had Chitauri and you had all kind of threats from above coming, but you also have Asgard and you have these protective forces out there. We make it much harder for those protections to come help our heroes. So I think what's going on with what he's saying is, between Asgard and maybe Doctor Strange or the masters of mysticism, mystic art, they're keeping a lot of these threats away that we've never even heard of in the movies, because that's a whole other movie, like, yeah, keeping this threat away from Earth. Now those safeguards are gone, those shields are gone, and now cosmic forces are just, like, invading Earth left and right.
It's kind of like the Outer Guardians in Sailor Moon.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly like that.
Mm-hmm.
So
one was for Ollie.
Don't worry, I understood you. I got you, girl. Don't worry.
I think Asgard probably is gone. Like, at least a lot of the protections that they offer have to be taken away in some capacity. Maybe it's just that Hela is able to reduce the gods' power in some way
by killing them.
By killing them, or by, like, finding a way to steal it. But I think probably almost everyone in Thor dies.
It's gonna
like,
be dark.
Like, it's gonna get real dark.
Including the Warriors in that?
I think the Warriors 3 are certainly hurt. as well as
Stiff. Because they're not standing on that rainbow road with
They are not. I think it's entirely possible that they all get wiped out.
Yikes.
I don't think this is going to be a happy movie. It's called Ragnarok. And it looks funny. It looks real funny.
Yeah.
And in fact, I think that one of the rumors from a couple years ago is that they had to have writers come in and rewrite it to make it more lighthearted. And then they brought Taika Waititi in. I think it's so dark. They're like, we've got to figure out a way to balance this.
Yeah.
Because people die. We've got to figure this out. You know,
that's how darkness works, is if you don't have the light, you don't feel it. Like, you don't care if it's all foreboding and dark.
Yeah.
Like, it's why It was good, because the kids were so funny and charming that the scary
was great.
That's the balance, though. Like, the comedy has to make you care about them enough that when someone dies, you're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
So I think it makes sense to hire a director that's full comedy for a movie about the end of days.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. I do, too. So... we also have new character posters, but we can just cycle. I mean, they're posters. Whatever. It's fun and exciting.
Look, they're really posters. Pretty. Are great
they,
posters.
They are great. Oh, they're beautiful. They're great, beautiful posters.
I'm going to say, like, the Jeff Goldblum poster. I'm like, oh, my God. How old is he?
Yeah, he looks good, right?
We need a 30-to-50-year-old stand-in for Jeff Goldblum and Samuel Jackson.
And I know. We've got, he's, all the way zaddy in it.
That's the first image of, like, I think that's the first official image of Odin we've seen in this entire PR campaign.
I think you're right. Because he hasn't been in trailers and stuff.
There's been behind the scenes footage. We haven't seen him at all. And even in these character posters, we still don't get the Warriors 3 or Sif.
Right.
So
and Loki's breakdance fighting is fantastic. I love this.
Yeah. So let's see. Where are we at? Oh, we're here. So we got those. Thor. Here's the last bit of from Thor. Thor missed Civil War hunting for the Infinity Stones. So when the Civil War is going on, Thor's like, yeah, I'm, you guys can fight all you want. I'm concerned with much bigger deal than
the cosmic universe, not
you know,
the whole planet.
This, So the quote again, this is from Brad Winterbaum, producer on the film. This is a long quote, so bear with me. The journey he's been on at the beginning of this movie, it's not like 5 minutes after Ultron ends, we start this movie. It's a couple years later. And as we know, at the end of Ultron, he started his quest to find the Puppet Master and the Infinity Stones and all that. So when he says Puppet Master, it's because Thor doesn't know who Thanos is. He just knows that someone was playing Loki in Avengers, and then in Age of Ultron, something else was going on. Back to the quote. What he realized really fast, I don't think I'm giving too much away because it's right at the top of the film, but basically that one quest... That universe-ending peril that he was trying to figure out dovetailed or branched off into any number of universe-ending perils that he's been adventuring on for the 2 years leading up to the beginning of this film.
So he's been busy, not just hanging around with action figures.
Yeah.
As fun as that was.
And, but, like, I just to point back at this, this is why he's ready to be King of Asgard. He's stopped just meddling in the affairs of Midgard, like... Which is great. Like, thank you for protecting Midgard. That's fantastic. But he's shifted his focus to a much broader scale. And that's where Odin was at when he was king of, you've got threats in Jotunheim and Muspelheim. And you've got threats over here. And you've got this Malekith guy coming back. And you've got all these other cosmic threats. And we've got a vault we've got to watch. Like,
yeah,
Thor was
like
always like...
RPGs in general.
Yeah, yeah. So Thor was like, I've got Mjolnir and I'm going to go beat people on Midgard. This is fun to, wait, what's going on? And we have how many threats? Oh, screw this. This is... Okay, we've got to take care of this. That's where he's at now, which is why he's ready to take the mantle of Odin, even if he doesn't want it.
Right.
I've got a theory.
Oh! Oli, tell us your theory!
Well, that was like a Buffy. I don't know if anyone got that. Once more a feeling. Anyway,
yep.
Betsy in the chat says, wait, isn't the Soul Stone gold? Look at Odin's character poster. And I believe Odin's character poster.
It was gold.
So that's a theory.
I still think Heimdall has
Heimdall?
I really want... I think it would be so cool if Heimdall had it. Yeah. But it would also make sense
for Odin if he gets killed off.
Behind
his eye patch.
That's true.
It's in his eyeball.
Just in the eyeball.
That amazing reveal of Winter Soldier.
There?
That's why it's like Winter Soldier, because the eyeball reveal.
The eyeball reveal. Oh, you got to keep all your eyes, or whatever that line is.
Infinity Stone.
Good. Infinity Stone. Love it.
Can't wait for Eye Patch Origins Captain Marvel.
Who was that in the chat?
That was Betsy.
Well done, Betsy.
Well done, Betsy.
That's a solid idea.
Yeah, because we know he gets visions, like, right away. Of course, I'm talking about Thanos, but then, like, I'm trying to picture, like, when we saw the picture of it, that he had a stone in there already. And I think that was Visions.
Yeah, I'll can't remember. Yeah, over. Yeah, yeah.
I have to look back.
Finally, we have this last quote. We find Thor as a lone gunslinger, you know, a guy who's been adventuring around the cosmos for 2 years right at the top of our movie. He's a more savvy version of the character. In Dark World, he has trouble navigating that dark elf spaceship, but that's the Thor of the past. And that's why in the trailers here we see him fully capable of piloting a spaceship and firing laser miniguns. And
as you do.
And mm-hmm. He's like, oh, I don't have Mjolnir anymore? Great, I'll fly a spaceship and shoot a laser minigun. Take it. I'm still a warrior.
That's Thor.
That's Thor. That's the news. That's all the news. Totally we did it in 45 sense. Minutes, and now we got 15 minutes to give to the Mary Marmalites by design.
Because
we love you guys.
Awesome. All right, so our shout-outs. Stephanie! Jandro at Seth Amethyst.
Thanks for birthing
Jacques
me.
Like Jacques at Darren Jacques. Laura Mosley at Laura E. Mosley. Chris at Chris_YG93. Glorious Greg at XGHilly929. Daniel at DNA Alien Prime. Mike Clark at Nonviolent69. Calum Kitchen 206 from Instagram. Matthew Picknett at Matthew_Picknett. Michael White at FetKane32. Evan at HarrisCB9. Angry Wet Cat at Joshua Never Josh.
Angry Wet Cat.
I like that. Bark. At birds_ what are they?
Best name on Twitter.
Ricky Alsace at Vegito247. So from Corey Matson on YouTube, you know when you have your favorite food too much and so you change it up and it hits the spot? I love these Markeia and Alan vids just like that. Also, I haven't seen him on the video version until now, but you guys aren't joking when you say Ollie Dreamboat.
Ooh.
I've always found his voice soothing, but Dreamboat indeed. Ha ha.
Indeed. Oh, my goodness. You are a Dreamboat.
Yeah, Ollie Dreamboat.
Corey Matson, thank you.
Yes. And so, questions. Oh, this is from Lewis Cox from the live chat. What did Coy and Matt think of Inhumans?
Still haven't had a chance to see it.
Oh.
Like, it came out the week we were at Burning Man. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What's funny about Burning Man and what most people don't realize is that when you get back from Burning Man, you're not actually back because you still have to clean all your stuff. Like, there's still a lot of, like, getting back into the real world kind of stuff that you have to do. And I have looked every single day for showtimes. It shows once a day, not close to my house.
Yep.
And it's like 10:45 in the morning when I'm doing other work.
Great sign.
Right.
So
just might not see it until the premiere.
If it's still out Friday, that's the next day I have free time.
They took it down from 2 weeks down to one.
Yeah,
I think
they shortened the run.
Well, 0% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's doing great.
Yeah, it's doing real well.
Making numbers. 1.5 million opening theatrical.
Yeah.
Wait, Quinn, did you see it?
I acknowledged my willingness to live and didn't go to see. I just want to keep enjoying my life.
I want to see. Ollie saw it, and Ollie brought us back
I got one for you, too, Quinn.
Special ticket.
Yeah, so cute.
Yeah, we had a really good conversation about it. Zach went on a rant. We had Doom.
Doom?
Doom was here for an Inhumans rant. In fact, I kind of think y'all planned Burning Man just so that you wouldn't have to do the Inhuman show
that
exactly
I did. That's exactly what it was.
20 plus years ago, we started this little thing in the desert so we could miss Inhumans in the future.
But we didn't start going until a couple years ago.
Yes.
Just
I knew it was part
obvious.
Of your plan.
Yeah.
I knew it.
We saw a lot of Inhumans out in the playa, but not a lot of people saw them in theaters.
And they were great.
They were amazing and fully not grounded. Yeah. They were much more out there than the things you saw in IMAX.
Yeah, as I was telling Ollie, like, there's no theater.
Yeah, sorry.
And the desert. Like, there's no way for me to go see this movie when it has multiple show times in the day. And now it's like, what's up? Come watch it at 1 o'clock or at 10:45. That's it.
Yeah.
Those are your times. I'm like,
we'll see.
It's 20 miles away from your home.
Yeah. Okay, we already talked about Dark Phoenix, so that's that part of the question. And then what do you guys think would be the next Marvel Netflix
Punisher.
Series?
Moon Knight.
Punisher.
After Punisher.
He didn't specify. We already know.
Punisher, confirmed.
I know that answer.
Punisher, then it'll be Jessica Jones, then it'll probably be Luke Cage, then Iron Fist, then Daredevil.
And then Defenders again.
I would love to see Moon Knight. I would love to see them start branching off into the gory supernatural stuff that the movies won't touch.
I'd like for them to do Moonlight, but in like a Dark Mirror type of way, like Dark Mirror meets The Raid kind of a thing.
I still want my Aaron Sorkin She-Hulk like that, that would be awesome. Drama.
But I don't think that would be in Netflix. That's probably more something ABC would do.
Yeah, it is. I wouldn't mind it being like the format, the hour, the longer, the. Yeah. I mean, I know it was Shielded, but I that 8 episodes or 12, like right there.
Yeah, yeah, I would love that.
From AWOL991, also on YouTube. Why are so many Marvel women called Jessica?
Rights issues.
Solid name.
Brian Michael Bendis he wanted to write Jessica Drew, and Brian Michael Bendis wasn't the name he is today, so Marvel's like, no.
Can't do
make
it.
Make up someone new. So he's like, Jessica, not Drew, Jones! And then Jessica Jones was incredibly popular, so now there's Jessica Jones and Jessica Drew because Marvel didn't trust Bendis, and now he is their entire cinematic universe.
Yes. It's also why so many DC mothers are called Martha. So Chris Clark, also from YouTube, do you think they will take the Richards wedding from the original Galactus storyline and give it to Tony in the beginning of Infinity War?
Such a cool idea, dude.
Isn't that really cool?
When I read that, I was like, yeah!
Oh, wait. I was so focused on the news, I didn't see the Marvel. What was that? Do you think they'll take Richards' wedding from the original Galactus storyline and give it to Tony? Oh, that would be
cool.
Awesome.
Isn't that really cool?
Yeah, when I read that, I was like, die. Yeah,
that would be awesome.
Wisdom, I like it.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully so. Hopefully so. I like it.
It's like, do it. Work for it.
So, yeah. All right, great. Well, that's our show.
I want to shout out DN Alien again because he's the one that commented on Whitney's photo, like, Mike Diva, Matt Keith.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah,
that's funny.
So, like, someone that knew all of our work at in a photo, like, reached out, and it was very sweet.
But, like, all of our different work,
separate
not
worlds.
Knowing that we're all actually friends, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Made me happy. The internet's real big, real small. Like,
yeah.
California.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Los Angeles, like, the Los Angeles news commentary geek sort of, like, scape is...
It's a few thousand / 12 of us.
Yeah, it's relatively small. Like, we all kind of actually really know each other and
get
along really well.
Yeah. So, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's all the avocados.
Yeah. all right, we have to start signing off.
Yes.
Ollie. Thank you for being here. You're a dreamboat.
Of course. Oh, thank you.
You're the best.
You're all dreamboats. This is one big boat, and it's a dream. being on it with y'all.
Let's just call it a dream cruise.
I love it.
Where can people find you?
Guys,
what are you up to? Where else can we see you?
Well. Find me on all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer. And if you're into cosplay like me, follow my Instagram page at Ollie Cosplays.
I didn't know you didn't know. No. That's fun. That's how exciting.
Maybe I'll surprise you one of these days.
Yeah, do it.
Yes,
Halloween's around the bend.
Koi Koi?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at CoyjanDreau. I do little interviews about stuff you guys recommend, and I love talking about most things because I enjoy most things. And Burning Man is incredible. It feels good to be back to the real world. And I don't know what this fall brings, but I'm very intrigued. Like, I feel like we're back in, like, it's a new chapter. So
yeah.
I'm like, what's happening? I'm excited to see what's happening.
Yeah. Markia.
Cool. Instagram, Twitter, at Markia McCarty. That's MarkeiaMccarty. And if you love wrestling, even just a little bit, so the Mae Young Classic has been going on, and the finale is actually tonight, so I'm hopefully going to be live tweeting that. But you can see the after show. AfterBuzz TV does the Mae Young Classic after show, and that'll be 7 o'clock Wednesday, where we will cover the finale. We'll also cover I believe it was a six-pack that just happened, or it was a tag team. I haven't watched it yet. I will watch it. But join me in my all-female panel Wednesday, 7 p.m.,
awesome.
Talk some wrestling with us.
Awesome. Before I sign off, I want to acknowledge that we lost an oft not spoken of giant in the comic book industry. His name is Lin Wein. His name really absolutely should be up there with the likes of Stan Lee, Jack Kirby, Steve Ditko, Carmen Infantino, Siegel and Shute. Like, yes, those guys are giants. They did amazing, like Superman, Marvel, but Lin Wein is the reason we have Marvel the way we do now. Like, mm-hmm. he's the one who created Giant Size X-Men in the 74, I think, 75, saved that entire franchise. That franchise, under the guidance of Chris Claremont, then went on to help save Marvel in the 80s and become the biggest thing of the 90s. Like, that was their cash cow for 20 years, and it all started with Lin Wein. He also created Swamp Thing.
Mm-hmm.
He started bringing horror comics back with DC and an artist named Bernie Wrightson. He edited Watchmen. Like,
thing.
The dude had his hands on so much.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote some of the best Batman stories out there. He died this weekend at the age of 69. Beyond all of that, I had the opportunity to meet him on two or three separate occasions. Always nice. Always gracious. Never bitter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just an incredibly nice man, incredibly gracious man, and thankful man for what he got to do. He was a fan, just like us, and he started writing comics and got noticed by Stan Lee, and there you have it. But he's an incredible person. We lost him this week. Incredibly nice person. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about him on our Wednesday club show that I do with Geek and Sundry. That's at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. We're doing an entire 2 hours on Lin Wein. So if you want to be educated on who he is and why he's a giant deserve to know, watch that show. I also wrote about it on Geek Girl Authority and why he's the reason I get to read comics and do what I do, because he created Nightcrawler, and mm-hmm. that's my gateway character. So,
nice.
Rest in peace, Lin Wein. Sorry to end on a sad note, but, we can make it a happy note.
It's an acknowledgement.
Yeah, it's an acknowledgement.
Yeah. It's a happy note for doing. He was a fan. He got to do what we'd all want to do. He got to create new characters everybody else loves. So it's a celebration of that man's awesome.
And by the way, his creations are still alive. He created Wolverine.
I tweeted an amazing picture of Hugh Jackman shaking his hand at a Comic-Con, and it was like Wolverine meeting the man who made Wolverine. And I was like, that was the moment for me of like someone. Like I just I love that.
Hulk 181. That's Lin Wein.
Yeah.
Like he invented Wolverine. Like.
Dude.
So the dude is a giant. Go and celebrate his life this week and go find two or three of his comics. Read Giant Size X-Men. That is critical reading for Marvel history. And we love you guys. And thanks for watching our show.
Yeah,
and
happy birthday to Koi.
Happy birthday to Koi.
Yes.
One more. Yeah.
What kind of birthday shout out do you want?
I want a full Dreamboat birthday shout out.
Full Dreamboat.
Amongst yourselves. Okay.
Ollie, you lead it.
We're doing it now?
Yeah, we're doing it.
Doing it. It's time. That time of year. For Koi.
That Koi time of year.
It's his birthday.
It's his birthday.
Oh, Koi. Board.
Sexy birthday.
I'm gonna give you so many gifts tonight.
Oh,
gonna give you so many presents.
Production
yes. What you want?
I've never gotten a full three-way birthday.
Gonna unwrap this present tonight.
Yes.
I'm just talking about Koi.
Three boats for you.
You guys, that was beautiful.
Happy birthday. All right. On that note, we're signing off. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.